it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy hump day. Welcome in.
The rain stopped for a little bit. That's nice.
We are focusing in on local business, local events for this first segment. And then I want to tease this. 2 o'clock, there is a Tim Hortons approved to go at Main and Harris Hill. There is a pushback to that Tim Hortons going into the old Steuben Trust Bank. It was then Community Bank. We will have a member of the pushback on here at 2 o'clock. It was in the paper over the weekend. It's been in the Amherst Bee. We will be focusing in on that in the second hour. So I just want to make sure that I let you know we're going to get to that story. It's been everywhere. And we'll hear from a member of the pushback, and then we'll hear from you as well. Brandon Galligan is here from Yelp. Brandon, welcome back.
Beamer, I always say it every time I'm in, but love coming into the studio. Love seeing you. Love, you know, even with the rain, it's a great day to, you know, come and talk all things local.
We love local.
Food. Love it.
We love local. And this is, by the way, the first time on the actual Joe Beamer show.
On the actual Joe Beamer show. So this is like day number one for me. This is great.
Welcome to the premiere. Now, it is, you know, we're getting to the Halloween, and yep. Then we're getting to November, and you know, holidays and everything, obviously, people are thinking about, but you guys are having a little fun in November.
Absolutely. I've got, you know, one word for you, Nacho-vember. All right? Everybody loves nachos. I don't know how you could go wrong. Like, even if you have nothing at home and you're like, man, I want a snack, you've got shredded cheese and a bag of tortillas, you throw it in the microwave. You know what? We're going to do that, but we're going to ramp it up a billion notches, and we're going to have some fun with it in November. We've got 5 free events for anybody to sign up for. All you got to do is go on yelp.com/events. You'll see Nacho-vember right there. You can sign up for any of these events. It's completely free. We're doing things that have week-long perks, so you can go in anytime that fits your schedule. We've got a couple of solo events that are happening later on at the end of the month here too. So if you're free on those nights, it'll be great. But the week-long perks are kind of the things that we're really hammering home in this one. So that we know it's busy. We know Halloween, Thanksgiving, things like that are happening. We want to make sure that, you know, we're mindful of people's time and energy and things like that. So we want to make sure that people are getting out there and doing things when they can.
Getting out there, supporting local business. What are some of the perks? What are some of the things we're looking at?
So Bull Riders Barbecue, popular food truck in Buffalo. Yeah. He's actually opened up his first brick and mortar down in Derby. So he's going to have a little grand opening kind of special for us.
I love seeing that, by the way, when the food trucks have been so successful, they're like, hey, we want a permanent location.
Absolutely.
Keep the truck too, but have the permanent location. That's always nice.
Absolutely. And on that same note, you know, like he's going to do barbecue nachos. I mean, his barbecue is amazing, so it's going to be really great on top of some chips and some cheese. I can't wait for that one. Speaking of cheese, speaking of people who have a food truck and a brick and mortar, we're talking Cheesy Chick.
Oh, of course.
You gotta go with Cheesy Chick. We've got something special cooking up at Cheesy Chick. We're going to do some mac and cheese style nachos. So he's got a queso mac and cheese. We're going to throw some chips in there, throw some toppings. That one's going to be really good. The ultimate cheesy, like,
yeah. If you like cheese, there. This is for you.
If you like cheese, this whole month is like dedicated for you.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other week-long event one that we've got is AJ's Kitchen. That's going to be... I think we're going to focus more on like the birria nachos and things of that nature. So kind of a little bit of like the higher end feel of a nacho, but it's still that gourmet nacho that people are going to know and love.
Oh, yeah.
And AJ's Kitchen has been on the rise here. They won an award at Taste of Buffalo, and they've just kept going up. And, you know, I love what they're cooking up down there.
Now, where's AJ's Kitchen?
I believe it's down like Orchard Park, West Seneca, Okay. Like that kind of area right there.
All right. So, I mean, you got me hungry with the nacho.
I know.
I love nachos. I mean, you go to a restaurant. Hey, you want appetizers? Yeah, I want whatever your nacho dish is. That's what I want. I want some guac. I want some sour cream, cheese, obviously.
Obviously, I mean, you go out to a Mexican restaurant. What do they bring to the table? They're bringing chips and salsa.
Warm chips
and salsa. If they're homemade, even better. Oh, it's so great. We've even got a couple of other events here that we're doing too. We've got one down at Meat and Eat Charcuterie down in Larkinville.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna have charcuterie nachos. So, gonna be kind of an interesting. It's gonna be kind of an interesting concept. So
I love nachos. I like a good charcuterie.
So let's
mixing
combine
those
it.
Together.
I mean, it sounds like a win.
I can't disagree with you.
Build your own charcuterie nachos. In that event, we're going to have a nice little nacho battle, if you will. So we're going to have the Meat and Eat charcuterie nachos. And then we're bringing in Daughter's Dumplings, who's going to do some dumpling nachos.
Oh, man.
Can't wait to see what – I've never thought to myself, wow, this dumpling is a great nacho.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see what it turns out.
No, the suspense is killing
dumplings
me.
With cheese – on top, I mean, how could you go wrong with that?
Pair that with a nice wine.
Ooh, and right? They do have wine there, too, so it's perfect.
Come on.
They've got wine, they've got charcuterie,
yes.
We've got dumplings, everything.
We are talking about a fancy you-know-what.
Absolutely. And then we've got Burning Hollow, who is a local hot sauce maker. He's going to be there, too, with different samples of his hot sauces. So,
oh, great.
Dumpling nachos, charcuterie nachos, hot sauce, wine. Like, this is the night
you guys are going in on nachos. This
is the night you want to show up and you want to just like let yourself be with the nacho.
When is that one?
That one is going to be on the 19th of November.
The 19th of November.
I believe that's a Wednesday.
All right.
And then the next night we're actually going over to Hombre y Lobo. We're actually going to have a nacho average drag show. So they'll have the drag show there, and then we're going to have some agua fresca and some nachos. So that'll be a nice little fun night too. Nice little back to back nights, and then we say, hey. Everybody, have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you the next month here.
The next month. All right. So, Nachovember. I got that right. Nachovember. Sounds great. You sold me on nachos. I mean, I love the nachos. And I love the holidays, right? I mean,
absolutely.
November is the kickoff. I mean, I kick off in September, but it's the kickoff to the holiday season. And you guys, again, I know we're talking November, but, I mean, what does that rush mean? Holidays, local business. I mean, this is the month to make it happen, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, like you said, once we get past Halloween, we go into November, and that really does kick off that holiday season. My big thing is you're looking for Christmas presents. You're getting ready for Thanksgiving. You're kind of in that mode. You can go to a lot of different department stores and things like that, but you could go down to Elmwood Village. You could go to Hurdle. You could go to these local spots, find really great gifts for the holidays. You could find really great food. I know a lot of local businesses will do Thanksgiving style like dinners that you can actually do. So if you're like me and you're like, man, I really don't want to cook all of the sides and all of the turkey and everything like that. Like,
can I smoke turkey?
Like, I'll do a turkey.
Yeah.
But like, then I've got to figure out all the sides too with it. And I usually just tell my parents or family members coming over, like, hey, everybody bring a side.
Yeah.
But
that's great.
Go to a local spot, have them make everything for you, pick it up, reheat,
beautiful.
And you're good to go. So I think with that, like with the holiday season coming up, it's definitely one of those things of, yeah, like, let's lean into the local a little bit. We don't need to go to all of the major chains and figure out.
Try to keep the money right here.
Exactly. Keep the money in Buffalo. This
like
is
that.
Our community. And that's really what Nachovember is all about, is bring people into the local community, giving them a taste of, you know, first of all, nachos. But second of all, what local can do. And then that way, if you fall in love with one of these places, you're like, hey, Beamer, we're off on Thursday night. Let's go over and let's have some nachos here.
Yeah.
Hey, they have great tacos here. Let's go there. Let's do that.
I love that. I love that you have, you know, events during the week. Get
Absolutely.
People together during the week. Let's get people out of the house. Let's get people talking face-to-face again, my friend. Face-to-face. Now, you have a list coming out.
Absolutely.
And you know I'm a huge fan of the lists.
I'm a big list guy, right with you.
I know you can't give the whole list away, but tell us the premise of this one that's being released soon.
Absolutely. So we're 2 weeks out from releasing our top local eats list.
Okay.
That's our top 25 places in Buffalo. It's been curated. It's got all of the methodology behind it of how we came up with the top 25, but it's our top 25 places to eat in Buffalo. So it's, you know, it's the popular spots you probably know and love. There's some newcomers in there with, you know, great reviews that people are saying this might be a little bit of a hidden gem. We might need to keep this a little bit of a secret. We're going to put them all in a list of 25 places, and we're going to go through it. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Can you give us a tease? Can you give us a, like, out of the 1 through 25, can you name one place that might be on the list?
You know,
or is that too much?
You know, I think if I come back in a couple of weeks, I'll be able to name some places. But if you ask me a place, you know, I may be able to give you a nonverbal yes or no there.
Okay.
So, you know, think about it as we're talking. But if you think of a place, maybe I'll give you a little bit of a hint. But definitely, Buffalo this year has been big in barbecue. It's been big in burgers, mm-hmm. and it's been big in the non-traditional, like, American cuisine. So think of, you know, the Asian cuisines like Thai, yeah. Japanese, things like that. So it's been big in those.
Yeah. A few great Thai places I can just think of.
A lot of good Vietnamese places this year as well that have opened up or have had some good success.
Does the chicken sandwich has been wildly popular nationwide. Have we seen that locally?
We have in little bits here and there. I think the chicken sandwich, there was that huge debate a few years ago of what was the best fast food chicken sandwich, right?
Yes, of course.
You know, we all have our favorite fast food chicken sandwich. I think in Buffalo, we've taken the chicken sandwich. We do chicken better than anybody else in the country in Buffalo.
Of course.
We've got the best wings. We should have the best chicken sandwich unless you're, you know, down in Nashville, I would argue.
That's a great point.
Probably one of the better chicken sandwiches I've ever had.
And by the way, last weekend I had a great Nashville chicken sandwich at a local Buffalo place.
Absolutely.
Brandon, anything else you want to let us know? And if not, make sure you get those dates out one more time.
Absolutely. So everything kicks off starting two weeks from now on November 5th. So we're launching our top 25 list. That is also the first day of all of our Nachovember stuff. So you can go online right now to yelp.com/events. Nachovember will be right at the top. You can RSVP for all of that leading up to the 5th. And then, boom, we'll have events on the 5th. Every week we've got some sort of event going on all the way up till Thanksgiving.
Beautiful.
The 19th and 20th, we have our two big events. And then we move right into the holidays.
And we can find you on Facebook.
You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Yelp Buffalo.
All right, Brandon Galligan, we will have you in here again before Christmas.
Perfect.
All right, man. Always great seeing you. I want to get into this. So David talked about this a little bit. You know, there was all the hype around Bass Pro Shop coming to Buffalo back in the day, back in the early 2000s. And it was going to be waterfront. Bass Pro Shop, it was going to save downtown Buffalo because of all the people who didn't want to go to Auburn, New York, were going to come to Buffalo, New York, and shop at Bass Pro Shop. Well, now they're going to put one in Victor. Now, to be fair, we have Cabela's. I believe Cabela's is owned by Bass Pro Shop. It's the, you know, same. But with this store in Rochester, it does make me ask the question and make me wonder, does anyone travel to shop anymore? I mean, is that a thing? Because, I love to shop in person. And when I say travel, I don't mean going up to the falls, right? I mean, are you going to Grove City? Are you going to Syracuse? Are you going to New York City purely for shopping? Do those kind of shopping trips still happen? Because I'm, you know, again, I love to buy things in person. I also like my money to stay locally. So if I'm going to buy anything, even if it's at a national place, I like spending it here because, you know, they employ local people. I've made that point a few times. But if there's a store here, say you're a fan of Williams-Sonoma or Pottery Barn, used to be here, now they're not. They're in Victor. They're down to 90. Will you get in your car and drive to Rochester to go to a store or drive to, again, we can name all the places again, drive to, go to Toronto, go to the Eaton Center in Toronto. Are you traveling to shop? Now, my thinking on this is many people travel to shop for the holidays, right? I mean, you go to the Galleria after Thanksgiving and you're like, wow, it's the holidays. This is the mall. It's packed. You can't find a place to park. You got people in line to get pictures with, well, kids in line to get pictures with Santa, right? I mean, the place is popping. But after returns, I mean, January comes along, the place is dead again. So outside of the holidays or shopping for the holidays, are you traveling to shop? Is that still a reality? 803-0930, star 930. My guess is a majority of people are going to say no. No. Now, if I'm somewhere for something else, right? If I'm,
in New York for the Mets, yeah, then I might go do some shopping while I'm there. But I'm not making a trip based on shopping. Not saying that I ever would. But if you are the kind of person that maybe, you know, 20 years ago, you were doing shopping trips, you were getting everyone together and going shopping, is that even still a thing? 803-0930, star 930. Because Bass Pro Shop was supposed to bring back downtown Buffalo. I can't imagine there is a retail store that could I would love to see a business bet on Buffalo, of course. But I don't think there is a store out there that if it made its arrival in Buffalo, you know, after the new wore off, I don't think it would be this thing that people are traveling from all over New York and Pennsylvania to go shop to go shopping. So 803-0930, do you shop to travel? Is there a retail store, not in Buffalo, that you will get in the car and drive to? Does that store exist? If so, what is it? What's the appeal? Why would you travel to go? Is it the Macy's in New York because it's the New York Macy's? Is there a store that you get in the car, you travel to because you just have to? 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the show. Also want to talk, I watched a YouTube video on theme restaurants and why they are falling out of popularity. I want to get into that a little bit too when we come back. Also, we will be talking about the pushback against the Tim Hortons proposed at Main and Harris Hill. Someone said it's been there for years. Texter, not Harris Hill in Genesee. They are proposing a Tim Hortons at Main and Harris Hill in the old bank building. We'll get the specifics on why the pushback at 2 o'clock. But when we come back, I want to hear from you. 803-0930, star 930. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some Dierks Bentley.
It's a long trip alone.
I love this song.
Over sand and stone.
Joe Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN. Talking about shopping, yes, where, you know, a lot of people have already started their Christmas shopping. There are people out there that might be done with their Christmas shopping. This news of Bass Pro Shop coming to the Rochester area, and you know, Bass Pro Shop will always be a punchline in Buffalo because of the all the attention that came up when, I mean, this was... You had the governor at the time. I think Pataki was at the announcement, right? This was going to be the big thing, the Bass Pro Shop. And if you've ever been to a Bass Pro Shop, again, you understand. I mean, it is a city inside of this store, right? You've got the pond, you've got the guns, you've got the outdoor stuff, you got the Yetis, you got the boats outside. I mean, a Bass Pro Shop is a city, and they're very popular. But are you traveling? Are you getting in the car? Again, we have Cabela's in Buffalo, which, again, is owned by Bass Pro Shop. Are you getting in the car to drive to a store? And let's put that concept to use if Bass Pro Shop had opened up in downtown Buffalo, is downtown Buffalo looking different today than it did 25 years ago? I mean, maybe at first you get a rush of people, but again, there's one in Auburn. A lot of, you know, a lot of the stuff you get there, you can order online. So I want to know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just assume too many people are now just doing all their shopping online, because you can go down to the Boulevard Shopping Center, places packed. You can go to East View on transit, places usually packed. It's going to be even more packed with Trader Joe's there. Is there a store that Buffalo does not have that will make you, or a shopping center, that will make you get in your car and drive an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? Do you drive to Grove City? Do you go to New York to shop? Do you go to the Eaton Center? Pay $50 to park your car in downtown Toronto. 803-0930, star 930. You can also text in on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone said on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, Joe, 20 years ago, we'd plan a Christmas shopping trip every year to my sister's in Ohio near Cleveland. It was before we had Kohl's and et cetera here. We don't do that anymore. Everyone is so busy. I'm not even sure where we found the time, especially during the busy holiday season. It was fun, but it's a thing of the past. And that's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. And I don't mean getting everyone together and going to the Galleria. I mean getting people together and going a city away. Going to Erie. Yes, going to Toronto. Now, again, I said parking downtown Toronto. I would say take the train in St. Catharines and take the train into Toronto. Saves you a lot of money. Also saves you hassle of, where did I park again? I think it might be a thing of the past. I think doing that traveling and, you know, building this shopping thing or this retail place and thinking that it's going to attract more than just the people in a 25, 30-minute radius. Now, there are exceptions to that, right? I go back to Hornell, New York. There's only limited stores in Hornell, New York. Yeah, you might be driving into Elmira. You might go to Corning. But I'm talking about in Buffalo, New York, traveling to go shopping. Hey, we're getting out of town for the weekend. We're going to get all the Christmas presents. Now you've got retailers paying you to put your Christmas list on their app. Did you see this? My wife keeps telling me about it. Target, if you're a member of, you know, one of their shopping things, if you make your shopping list, they'll give you a $10 store credit. They're paying you to make a list. Now, Target's not, you know, no one's traveling to a Target. Most of us have a Target within a 10, 15-minute drive. Now, this contradicts what I'm saying on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. I drive to Erie and Rochester for the malls, more stores than here. Now, I have not been to a Rochester mall since I worked at Bed Bath & Beyond and we did inventory at the locations there. So I have watched the videos on the dead mall in Rochester. Is it the Irondequoit Mall? I have watched a few people walk around that dead mall because, you know, I like to watch the abandoned mall videos. So speaking of things of the past, I'd love to know your takes on this. 803-0930, star 930. But speaking of things of the past, themed restaurants. And this kind of goes hand in hand with when shopping was, you know, when people would travel to shop. Themed restaurants, they really spiked in the 90s, right? We had Hard Rock Cafe, Planet Hollywood, Johnny Rockets, Rainforest Cafe, Bubba Gump Shrimp, Margaritaville, Cheeseburger in Paradise. Themed restaurants. Now, there is a Bubba Gump Shrimp in the heart of Times Square. Is there anyone in this audience that has been in a touristy spot and has gone to the theme restaurant. Now, we have the Rainforest Cafe in Niagara Falls, America, and a Hard Rock Cafe. We used to have a Planet Hollywood across the Rainbow Bridge. That's no longer there. But I want to know, because so what's happened in the last 15, 20 years, these kind of restaurants have really decreased in popularity, right? Rainforest Cafe is only down to a handful of locations. Planet Hollywood, I know there's the one in Vegas, but they're nowhere close to what they were when they had a location on the other side of the border. Margaritaville, now I love the corn chowder at the Margaritaville. But when you see places like this, are you going to go in like, oh, I love Jimmy Buffett, I'm going to have to go into Margaritaville? Or do you kind of avoid the touristy trap places? I guess what I'm asking is, when you're traveling, do you fall for the tourist trap? The gift store with $30, you know, Christmas tree ornaments? Or do you try to find the real local place? Like, you're in New York, are you going to go to the bar off of Times Square, or are you going to go to Bubba Gump Shrimp? And if you have been to one of these places, what was your experience? Were you actually paying for quality food, or were you paying to say, hey, I sat on the bench that Forrest Gump sat on? Or, hey, I had a margarita while Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett was playing for the 20th time. Now, this also brings up the former themed restaurants that used to be in touristy places, and a texter has beaten me to it. The ESPN Zone. Now, they're mentioning the one in D.C. I remember the ESPN Zone in Baltimore and the ESPN Zone that used to be in New York, and Las Vegas. Now, as a sports fan, that themed restaurant appealed to me. And it had an arcade and a bunch of big screen TVs. The one in Baltimore was two floors. It had bubble hockey on one floor that I remember was being absolutely amazing. Like, that was a fun time. That's when ESPN was ESPN. I mean, you know what I mean. That was probably my favorite themed restaurant that unfortunately didn't make it. And, you know, you look back now and you're like, how did these things ever appeal to us? Like, why did you ever walk into a Planet Hollywood? Because it was shaped like a big globe? You know what I mean? Like, what was so appealing? Now, I will say Planet Hollywood, if I remember correctly, had great chicken fingers. But, like, what was the appeal? And now, you know, when I was in Santa Monica last year, on the pier, there's a Bubba Gump Shrimp. Now, there's a ton of other things on the pier. Again, I think Santa Monica's a little overrated. But there's a bunch of other things on the pier. No offense to Forrest Gump, but it's a nice movie. But, you know, I'm probably paying more for the aurora, right? The ambiance of being in a restaurant around the theme of a movie. Instead of at the end of the pier, there was something called like Big Beers. Like, I'm probably more aligned to go to that place where people are yelling at a TV. Like, that's more my, next to the corn dog place. Like, that's more me, right? I appreciate the theme and everything, but I feel like when I see one of those places, now, don't get me wrong, Hard Rock Cafe is still very successful for a reason. It's a nice run institution. I've been to the one across the street from Ford's Theater in D.C. where there was student government back in 2009. That's a fun time. And it can be a fun time. But some of these places, it really, just so you can say, hey, I ate at the place that was themed after the movie. I did really like Johnny Rockets, by the way, when they were in town. Like, when we had Johnny Rockets at the Galleria, I thought that was a fine establishment. Kind of sad to see it go. What about you? 803-0930, star 930. Let's talk to our friend Neil in Forestville. Neil, you fell for the theme restaurant?
We were in Seattle, and we went to the Crab Pot, and like they throw like a whole garbage pile of seafood on the table in front of you, and it's pretty awesome. It was a good experience.
It was a good one. Okay, because there were two ways you could go. You said that. Now, what was the name of the place?
Crab Pot, Seattle.
All right. Yeah, because, you know, it's either that or maybe they have a restaurant that's themed after the show Frasier.
We also went to the place they throw the fish in, the Pike Place Fish Market.
Did you catch the fish?
No, I did not. It hit me in the chest.
Now, do you have to pay more if you don't catch the fish? How does that work?
You know, it was a while ago. It was for our wedding anniversary, and it was a good time. Seattle, you know, like the homeless people there really got me going. Like I thought that was like crazy to see that many people like out on the street.
Dude, that was my takeaway from Santa Monica. Like, you know, everyone goes, "Oh my God, how was Santa Monica?" It's like, the number one thing I have to mention is the homeless people. Like I could see people sleeping on the beach from my hotel room. Like they're, I don't know, like to me that kind of took away from the experience.
Well, we had a suite at the Hilton, and I was like, "Honey, we didn't have to spend $400 a night. We could have slept under that bridge."
I mean, Neil, you can sleep under a bridge here. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be a...
Yeah, but it's usually 50 degrees at night here or there. It was beautiful.
Yeah, that was... So Seattle, the weather was nice?
Yeah, we actually saw the San Francisco Bridge, and the fog wasn't too bad.
Wow. Well, we did
the Oregon Coast, and... It was breathtaking, you know, to do it once, you know, but it's so dry out there.
Yeah.
You know, when you start flying back here and you see all the greenery and the season change and, you know, I love going places, but there's no place like home, Jim.
Well, I feel the same way, Neil, and I'm glad you didn't tell me you went to a Wizard of Oz theme restaurant.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the casino there and what is that restaurant inside there? The Hard Rock?
Yeah.
The only reason we used to go in there was so we could get into the casino, like back when the casino opened up on the Canadian side, and it was like backed up lines around the corner, and we would go into there, and we'd get a table, order an hors d'oeuvre, and then boom, right into the casino.
Yeah, the Casino Niagara, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, all right. Good times there. You know, when the drinking age in Canada is 19 and it's 21 here, I had two good years walking over that bridge, let me tell you.
You know, myself too, like we would park on the U.S. side, and by the time we got back to our car, we were pretty sober.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And don't worry, there's a ton of places to park in Niagara Falls, America. So, ton of parking spaces to park, go put my two quarters on the bridge and walk across.
You know, it's funny how many people don't know about the quarters on the bridge there. You tell people, carry four quarters with you, Canadian, and they're like, why? Trust me.
Yeah, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Hey, Neil, appreciate the call as always, my friend. Neil in Forestville, 803-0930, star 930, on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone says, Margaritaville, Lulu's, Landshark, all Jimmy Buffett places, no matter where we go. I have to say, of the quote theme restaurants, and I mean, I do love Jimmy Buffett, rest in peace. The Margaritaville, I have to say, consistently, I think, is my favorite. Like, again, the other places... fine, but Margaritaville in the Falls, Margaritaville in Vegas, Margaritaville Myrtle Beach, all great experience. Like I have no complaints at all. Someone said, as a kid, I used to enjoy Kahunaville. There's another that was a theme restaurant at the Galleria. Back when people had decency and could go there and be safe. Yeah, back when the Galleria Mall wasn't always in the news for other reasons. Yeah, I Kahunaville. People always talk about what's something you miss in Buffalo, and Kahunaville consistently comes up as one that people miss there at the Galleria Mall. Also on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, to this day, I really miss Lord & Taylor, because we're also asking, do you travel to shop? Like, is there a place not in Buffalo that's somewhere else that you will get in the car and drive an hour, 2 hours to shop at that place? On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, to this day, I really miss Lord & Taylor. I read a few months ago they were thinking of reviving brick-and-mortar stores. If the store came back to Rochester, I'd be there in a shot. It may be a thing of the past, but I do miss that particular store, and I really miss Stein Mart. And because we do not have Costco yet, I do go to Rochester once or twice a year to get things there, because we also spend 4 months in Naples where we have a Costco and really love it. So for those reasons, Lord and Taylor, I will say this, and I know I said this when we had Brian Nowak on, supervisor in Cheektowaga. It is like a reminder that it's a thing of the past when you're on the 90 and you see the Lord and Taylor logo on the old Lord and Taylor. And that building is just completely empty. It's still, what, a year or two later, still empty. Like one of the signature buildings of the mall. What you see driving by. That's, I don't know. I see where the text was coming from. And Costco, yeah. I mean, if you go down to Florida for the winter and you have a Costco membership in Florida, yeah, you're probably going to try to use it while you're up here. You don't want to just pay all that money for 4 months. Fred in Lancaster. Fred, what are some of your favorite theme restaurants?
Well, I really did like the Golden Corral, and that used to be on Transit. And the other ones, Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips and Long John Silver's.
Oh, Long John Silver's. I'll tell you, Fred, that I was a fan of the Long John Silver's on Sheridan. That's now a Tim Hortons, to tease what we're talking about next. I never went to Arthur Treacher's, though. I was not around when that was in town.
Well, the last one, I think, was in Main Place Mall, but I think there's a Long John Silver's in Batavia.
There is. It's connected to a KFC, yes.
Yeah. So
that's a nice road trip.
Yeah, those are the two I miss.
Yeah, and it's funny because I believe it's the Subway on Main Street in right across from UB South. That Subway used to be an Archer Treacher's, and if you look, you can kind of still tell it has the outline of what it used to be.
Were you around when they had the Red Barn?
No, but I've heard so much about it.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. And too bad, you know.
I'll tell you. And now all the places all the national places are trying to all look alike, so you can't even tell them apart anymore.
Yeah, yeah. The other one, maybe Kenny Rogers Chicken Swiss Chalet.
Yes. Well, Swiss Chalet, you can still go up to Canada and get some Swiss Chalet. But yeah, the Kenny Rogers, one of my favorite Seinfeld episodes. Fred, appreciate the call. 803-0930, *930. It's interesting because, Brian Mazeroski was saying this this morning, how everything, in 20 years, things start to come back. And it's like as certain habits are going away, right? I talked a few months ago about the flip phone. Gen Z is trying to bring the flip phone back, which it'll never happen because we're, as we talked about yesterday, too addicted to doom scrolling. But as these theme restaurants go away, is there going to be a rush for that 90s, early 2000s nostalgia? And all of a sudden, there's a Planet Hollywood popping up where the Boulevard Mall used to be. I don't know. I had to pick a random place. When we come back, we're going to talk about the pushback against a Tim Hortons on Main Street and Clarence and Harris Hill. We'll be talking with a member of that pushback. And then at 2:35... Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns has an update on the Buffalo News occupying his office. Occupy the clerk's office. We'll have that update at 2:35. We'll focus in on Clarence when we come back. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, hour number two on this hump day. Hope you are enjoying the. Hope your day isn't as gloomy as the weather outside. In October, well, it is October, earlier this month, the town of Clarence approved a Tim Hortons at Main and Harris Hill. Now, this has been a controversy for the last year as the company that wants to put this Tim Hortons there was struggling to get approval. They then decided to not change anything with the outside of the building, just the interior of the old bank at Main Street and Harris Hill in Clarence. The town approved it on October 9th, and there has been pushback before that and ever since then. And a few days ago, our next guest put a message on the Clarence community page. My wife saw it, brought it to my attention, and I reached out to Herb Gunther, who joins us right now. Herb, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us. I really appreciate you giving us the time to talk about our situation here.
Of course. And Herb, I got to tell you, I could tell by your post and the article in the paper a few days ago that there was, you know, opposition. I posted a picture of the building this morning with a comment that you were coming on. And let me tell you, my comment section exploded. So take us back to the beginning. When did you first hear about this idea of a Tim Hortons being at Harris Hill and Main Street?
It was probably a couple, 3 months ago when we really got involved in it. And when we saw the first proposal, we were already against it. And a number of us formed a group and said we really need to oppose this because we don't think this fits in with a neighborhood, especially since this is zoned as a traditional neighborhood. And the intent is to have a pedestrian-friendly environment. I mean, we don't want transit road on Main Street. We want it to be a traditional neighborhood, a walkable neighborhood. So we really don't think this fit in here. And we were really against it from the beginning. And we met with the town planners. We met with Jonathan Bluer and the staff and talked about this and said, we don't think this belongs here. We think there's issues in terms of the special exemption use permit, that it doesn't meet those requirements and therefore shouldn't be approved. And he said, well, the town thinks a little differently about it. And what the applicant did is the first plan showed some traffic options at both those entrances and exits, right in, right out, left, no left turn signs. They did some reconfiguration of those exits and entrances. And when they did that, it had to go to the Department of Transportation and it had to go to Erie County Department of Public Works because Harris Hill is County Road and Main Street is DOT. They both came back with comments saying we want to see X, Y, and Z to mitigate the issues that we see here. And when that happened, they could not, supposedly, the applicant said, well, we can't meet all these conditions. We're just going to ignore that. We're not going to change any of the exits or the entrances. We're going to leave them exactly the same. And we're just going to do changes on the inside here, and that's how we're going to get it passed. And the town planning board goes, Herb, our hands are tied. We can't do anything. We can't do anything. I said, you have the special exemption use permit. Use that. He goes, well, the drive-thru is already existing. I said, the drive-thru is not even there. It's been ripped out. Yeah, but it was used as a drive-thru before. It was a bank before. A bank has such a low volume of people coming in, and the hours are so different. And Tim Hortons opens up at 5 and 6. Banks open up at 9 o'clock. A totally different clientele and throughput. And the three traffic studies they did showed there were some serious issues at that traffic stop already. So what the applicant did is said, I am going to ignore all that. But the exits and entrances are virtually the same locations that they were on their first proposal. So basically, the traffic issues don't go away, Joe. They're still there. There's going to be increased crashes at the intersection. And by the way, that intersection, according to our traffic studies, has an almost 18% greater crash rate than the New York State average. I had to find that information. It was only mentioned in the traffic study. They didn't give all the data. I had to go and dig for that data. And also, you're within 500 feet of two schools. You got Harris Hill Elementary, and you got Nativity School across the way. That is already mayhem in the morning. And it's also when they do the pickup in the afternoon. My wife works at Harris Hill. Those cars are queued. Over 100 cars are queued to pick up kids to take them home from school. And that traffic backs out onto Harris Hill and even into Main Street sometimes. Now, I'm not opposed to Tim Hortons. You know, Joe, I go to Tim Hortons. I'm not opposed to it. I'm opposed to the drive-thru there. I'm opposed to any drive-thru there. That's really the big crux here. I don't mind it. I just wish somehow that the town, the county, and DOT had gotten together and at least made some attempt to make this a safer place. If we can't get rid of the drive-thru, we'd like to see some traffic safety measures employed here because right now there's nothing, absolutely nothing.
You mentioned that intersection, and I, you know, pick up my my son at my in-laws a few days a week, and I'll tell you, I go out on Worley from their house instead of Main Street and drive Worley up to Shimerville just to avoid Main and Harris Hill. And like you said, I mean, there's two schools feeding into that, and I mean, morning rush at a place like Tim Hortons coincides with morning rush of dropping kids off at school.
Yeah. Yeah, and the crazy thing is, if you take a look at what Erie County Department of Public Works said, they took a look at the actual site plan that was developed, and they looked at it and said, you know what, you're not showing this correctly. You're not showing the correct car length. So these need to be 20 feet in length in each one of them. And you're not showing it. And the way you show this is not how drivers behave. You're going to spill out into Harris Hill with your 13 cars that you're saying you're going to need here. So that's a problem regardless of whether the traffic studies you want to take into account the traffic studies or not. So they wanted two lanes to go into there to alleviate the queuing that's going to spill out onto Harris Hill. Harris Hill is crazy in the morning. People drive on the right shoulder, traveling northbound, to make a right-hand turn onto Main Street. And that's not going away, Joe. We had people out there on the first day of school handing out pamphlets, and people are driving. They ignore the no left turn out of the school, which the traffic study showed over 38% of the people ignore that sign altogether. And they're driving on the shoulder, driving past people where we had standing there handing out pamphlets. It's a dangerous intersection. It's going to get more dangerous. And I don't know why the town doesn't reach out. Now, having said that, the town planner has said, Herb, this is existing nonconforming. You know, we can't really fight this. I said, well, we might do an Article 78 petition and bring it back and try to essentially sue the town to enforce this. And, you know, that's a tough road, Joe, because the developer can come back and do their own Article 78 and sue right back and quote unquote win, and they don't have to give any concessions. But my point is, what concessions have we gotten from the developer? They gave us a new sidewalk on Harris Hill, and that was it. Everything else they have gotten. They've given us, what have they given us? They put a couple of dormers on the building, and they put a mansard roof to hide the unit, which is required, by the way, for the traditional neighborhood zoning. So I don't understand what do we get for this, for giving them this? And they don't even conform to some other areas in the traditional neighborhood. And the town, I don't know why they're not pushing back on this. I get it. There may be a lawsuit that in the end we end up losing. But if I'm going to die on a hill, this is the hill I'm going to die on. I mean, this, I don't want this to be Transit Road, Joe. I this is not supposed to be Transit Road. This belongs on Transit Road. It doesn't belong on Harris Hill or Main Street. So that's where we're coming from. We don't want that drive through because we just think this is going to be a big issue. You know, take a look at Barbills. It was down the road. They had so much traffic issues that New York State DOT came out and they put no parking signs on both sides of the street from Alethea's all the way back up because of all the traffic issues there. What's going to happen when this Tim Horton comes in? And Joe, I'm sorry. On top of that, the development that's happening to Paula's Donuts, and that whole development thing, that was not included in any of the traffic studies. Which means that traffic's going to end up going down there too.
That's a great point. What is happening at the Paula's? Not to divert for a second here.
They're supposed to have a mixed use. It's supposed to be like 2 and 3 stories. So first floor retail, second, third floor apartments or condos that they're doing along Main Street. And Joe, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to development. I just want it to be smart development, right? Everyone talks about sprawl. How do you combat it? Well, you combat it by either letting sprawl exist, or you have to get more dense. So what they're proposing there, I'm not against it. It should be thoughtful. It should be pedestrian friendly. We shouldn't make it a commercial parking lot. I don't mind the development. I just think the development needs to be more thoughtful, Joe.
Yeah, you know, back to this Tim Hortons. So for months, it was being not being approved. But so the way that they're going to keep the old bank building, kind of like the Tim Hortons on Sheridan and Evans, that's how they got the end around, and you were told from the board that really that kind of takes it out of their control?
Correct. Takes it out of their control. Now, having said that, the town, at least I believe, still has, as the executive branch, has the authority to reach in and deny this permit. Now, you know when that happens, the developer is going to sue them, and it's going the whole rigmarole about that, and then in the end, they might eventually win. But again, Joe, I think this is worth it to say we don't want this type of development here. So for us, I think our thought process has evolved over the couple of months here. At first, we don't want the drive-through at all. But if we have to have the drive-through, can we at least all sit down one more time and see if we can't get some traffic mitigation measures developed here with Erie County and DOT and the town? Now, I had a meeting this morning with Pat Gallivan's chief of staff, and he's going to look at it from the DOT side. I have talked to Chris Green, who's our county legislator, and he is looking into it too. I also called Paul Bologna and said, Paul, we think this is a real issue here. They all have concerns about this, and the traffic is definitely going to be a big concern. Can't we all sit down and try to figure something out? If we have to have this drive-through, what can we do to make it at least a little more safe? And then, in our opinion, the long game, the end game, is within the next 10 years to write out of the traditional neighborhood, no drive-throughs in the traditional neighborhood area, to sunset all the drive-throughs that, so that within 10 years there's no drive-throughs. We do not want this to be transit road.
Kind of like what they did in Williamsville. And you know, you can't have a new drive-through now on Main Street in Williamsville.
Right, right. So, and it just, again, this is the town. The town created this traditional neighborhood. This is their idea. And all we're saying is, why aren't you enforcing this better? Why aren't you going through the code? You're not enforcing this part of it. You're not enforcing that part of it. Technically, if you go through the code, they don't have enough square footage for a septic system. They're putting a septic system in. They don't have enough acreage for the septic system. But they still let it go ahead and approve it. Technically, there's not supposed to be any flat roofs on that building. There's still a flat roof and the overhang over the drive-through. They didn't do anything with that. So there's all these other things. What did we get for this? I'm sorry. We gave the developer almost everything that they wanted, and we got nothing in return. Did we not go through this a little more thoroughly? There's also issues with parking in the front and stuff like that. And again, you know, if you reduce the parking, it just reduces the restaurant space, which, again, I think less traffic would be better for that. So I think there's things we can do to make it safer if we need to have it there. I just, in a sense, feel that the town maybe hasn't done its best here, or we haven't reached out to everyone and have a better consensus on this, Joe.
So, Herb, what is next? You mentioned you met with someone from the senator's office. You've talked Correct. To other elected officials, the county legislator, Correct. And the assemblyman, all who, by the way, fans of this show. what is the next step, Herb?
Well, what we've done, we've had a GoFundMe, and because the legal fees are expensive to do an Article 78 petition to basically try to come to the town for this thing here. So we have that there. We have over $3,000 right now. But this could take up to, it's a lot of money. It could be $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 to do a petition against them. But we're still doing the GoFundMe. We're talking to legal counsel to see if what our next steps are. And then beyond that, we're, you know, just trying to get the word out and trying to get pressure on the town to see, take another look at this and see if we can come together and hopefully get a better resolution than what we have right now.
Well, Herb, keep us updated. Yeah, you have anything else you have to bring to the table? You know my number. Reach out to me. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, I just think we wanted just a better resolution here. You know, so I think we could all sit down and get something better here than what we have now, and that's all we're looking for.
Now, so. did I read correctly that you said that you didn't like the way something was put in the paper?
Yeah, I mean, the way it was worded is like they created the developer was able to get a workaround to get this to work. Work for who? Yeah, you made it work for yourself, but you didn't help. What citizens you help? You didn't help the traffic studies or anything. So, yeah, you got a workaround. You figured it out. Great. Congratulations. Did it help us? Did it help the citizens here? Did it help the traffic? No, it didn't. The only one that helped was the developer there. So I didn't really like the way that's like they made it sound like, oh, we had a maneuver. We were able to get around it. Therefore, this is a great thing for the town. It's not a great thing for the town. It's a great thing for the developer, but it's not a great thing for us, in our opinion, Joe.
Hey, all good points, Herb. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join us. And like I said, anything else developing, reach out to me. We'll get you right back on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you. That is Herb Gunther, part of the push against the Harris Hill residents against Tim Hortons drive-thru. And, you know, again, he didn't say anything bad about Tim Hortons. You know, not an anti-Tim Hortons guy. Just, you look at this, and hey, I'm willing to talk to anyone who is part of the developer, anyone who is pro this. Like, I like to get both sides, as you know. But that intersection is already busy. Like, that is 100%. Harris Hill, between Sheridan and Genesee in the morning, is a nightmare. I mean, is anyone who's taken that road regularly in the morning disagree with what I just said? That stretch of Harris Hill from Sheridan to Genesee is an absolute nightmare. And, by the way, at night, too. Like, when people are driving home, my wife and I thought that we would be really quick getting to the Bills game if we took Harris Hill to Pleasant View and then went out onto transit. We found out the hard way, no, that's not quicker. Actually slowed us down probably 30 minutes. So, and you factor in the two schools, as Herb said, and the fact that it's already a mess. And it makes me think of, you know, other areas in Western New York where, you know, hey, I, you know, I'm not against business, not against development, but some places are just meant to not have that rush of traffic. You know, he kept saying he doesn't want to be Transit Road, right? Transit Road is Transit Road. Does Main and Harris Hill have to be Transit Road? And it's the same thing that happened in Williamsville, right? There's a reason that Starbucks had to buy that plot of land where Dunkin' Donuts used to be and refurbish the building that was already there because they needed to have a building that was grandfathered in, had a grandfathered in drive-through. Because in Williamsville, you cannot add a new drive-through. So you have this in Williamsville on Main Street. I don't think it's crazy to ask to extend that through Clarence. So all good points. And like I said, I would be I would love to hear from someone on the other side. I would like to get both sides of this. Again, nothing against Tim Hortons. I think we all like Tim Hortons coffee. You know, I sure love Tim Hortons in the morning. But there's, you know, also, and this was a point that Tim Wenger made when I sent him my topics. What do we have too many of? Like, just, again, I love Tim Hortons, but there's a Tim Hortons right down Harris Hill on Genesee. There's a Tim Hortons right down Main on Thompson, and right down Main on Transit. I mean, there's a lot of Tim Hortons. Again, I have nothing against Tim Hortons. This location doesn't seem to be the best, let's be honest. But again, like, man, we have a lot of Tim Hortons and a lot of Dollar Generals. I would say there's a Dollar General popping up everywhere. Doesn't it seem like if you go down Union, you could start at a Dollar General on Worley and you pass another one before you get to Genesee. We have a lot of Dollar Generals and we have a lot of Tim Hortons. 803-0930, star 930. Mickey Kearns, clerk, Erie County clerk, is coming up next to give us an update on the Buffalo News office space. We'll get a quick update from the clerk, and then we'll get to your calls. It's Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Most underrated group from the 90s, Ace of Base. It is Joe Beamer, final segment here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll be joined by Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns in just a second. I did tell Scott and Clarence I wanted to get his call real quick. Scott, you want to talk about the traffic problems that would be caused by this Tim Hortons?
Yes, and that Tim Hortons, what they did, they're going to keep the traffic exits the same, allowing a left turn onto Main Street and a left turn onto Harris Hill. And I'm glad that you live in the area because you know what I'm talking about when I tell you this. Try to make a left turn out of there onto Harris Hill, not happening. Try to make it out onto Main Street a left turn, that's not happening either, unless you want to play ricochet racers with oncoming traffic. What's going to happen is there's going to be one option, and that's going to be turn right. If you want to go south from Tim Hortons, you're going to have to go north, turning right to do it from Harris Hill. And then from there, you turn right again on the Main Street. If you're coming out on Main Street, you turn right. That exit on Main Street, about not even 20 feet from that exit, is the entrance into our neighborhood. That entrance, it'll go right down Oakwood. There are no sidewalks in our neighborhood. That's the only place that traffic is going to go is through our neighborhood. And that's the problem. Recently, there was an accident on Main and Harris Hill. The traffic was diverted down into our neighborhood. You wouldn't believe how many cars were coming through. And The problem also is that on that street alone, there are no less than 5 special needs children and young adults on that street, not to mention the rest of the neighborhood. It's kind of uncanny that there's that many, but this is a safety, not only safety issue, not only because of the schools, but in that neighborhood. And the town council and the planning board, they're there to represent us and to protect us, and they're not doing it. So for them to have, if you would have seen the fiasco that they had, where they had the meeting where the people in the neighborhood got to talk to the town board, you wouldn't believe it. They had the thing pre-planned. It didn't matter what any of us had to say. They were planning on going through with it no matter what. Well, and anybody that was at that meeting will agree with me that that's what had happened.
Scott, I like I said, I posted this on Facebook and I could not believe how many comments I was getting. I can tell that people, I mean, there is a pushback. There, people are letting their voice be heard, and we'll be sticking with this. Appreciate the call, Scott and Clarence. We now turn to Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns. Mickey, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for requesting me to come on.
Of course, every time. I would talk to you every day, Mickey, if I could find an excuse
to. Every day too.
Well, you're working. You're actually doing your job, Mickey. You have an update on sure. the Buffalo News office space in the clerk's office. What's the latest?
Sure. As you know, just to give a recap, I objected in writing twice. Before the seizure, the county executive and the Department of Public Works, they seized essential office space that the Erie County Clerk's Office utilizes to give basically a gift of public funds to the Buffalo News. We spoke to the legislature. We met with the legislators. They listened to us. I thought they did a great job. We argued before the legislature. We gave some of the legislatures a tour of the area, just to show them that the door is locked and that it ruined our conference room, which is essential to the office. The county executive representative who was at the legislature would not say who had a key or who had access other than Sandra Tan. So we have requested a legal opinion. And of course, requesting a legal opinion from the county attorney is getting no opinion. He basically said, his opinion has no more weight than the legal deputy in my office. And today, Sandra Tan was seen in the room. She's the only one in the room. I don't know if they gave you an invite, Joe, to come utilize the room. But she said before the legislature, I quote, "She has no problem if any other media is given a key." So once again, what really upsets me is that there's no local law. There's no resolution. There were 5 Department of Public Works workers moving here in today using on county time, plus the deputy commissioner of public works. I believe there needs to be an investigation of this. If this is not a gift of public funds, if this is not a quid pro quo, if this is not given special treatment, once again, before the legislature, it was stated that this was going to be open to all media. And once again, I said to you, have you received an invite from the county executive or for Erie County to have access to this room? Let me answer to you for you. No, you didn't.
I have
it's
not.
Just, it's just egregious abuse of power and weaponization of the power to impact this office. And I'm really upset about this. Poland Cars talks about dictatorships at the federal government. He is a dictator.
Mickey, so you said that public works workers were moving Sandra Tan into the office. What did that?
There was 4 public works workers moving her in, the deputy commissioner. They were vacuuming. They were moving tables in, I'm sure, desks. It's just not only did they change the locks, they must have done this. But today, during government time, she commands the attention of the Department of Public Works, where she can get 4 plus the deputy commissioner workers to come in and set up her office for her. It's not a media room. They tried to change the discussion at the legislature and said, well, no, all media is going to have access to this. But in the letter from the commissioner to me and from the county executive, The room is called the Buffalo Newsroom. And I asked the question once again, did anyone reach out to WBEN or to any other news affiliates and ask them if they want access to this room? And when she was talking, she did speak on the record, and I turned to her face to face. She stated, if anyone else would like to have access to this room, I have no problem to that. So a private organization that's not even here in Western New York anymore, that really closed down the printing presses here, moved to Cleveland, they have access to a room in my office as a public official. If this is not a gift of public funds, I don't know what is.
Yeah, interesting. You talk about the printing presses. The news isn't even printed here. Well, I will be texting Dan Meyer when this show is over and asking where I can get my application to get a key to the Buffalo Media Room, because I would love to stop in and have the access the Buffalo News does. So, Mickey, you called for an investigation. How do we get that off the ground? What's the next step here?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the legislature, they were, I have to say, it was a professionally run governmental exchange of discussion. The chairman, Barnese, did a great job. The Republican legislators came down. They requested a tour. It really is impacting the functionality of our office. Once again, I said this conference room is an important conference room. I met with my IT person today. We're ordering computers for training. As you know, I conveyed to you and the public that we have a software conversion. We have to train our employees. We haven't changed our software in nearly 25 years. Those computers, those desktop computers, that training has to happen in that room. And once again, all of this, I just think, you talk about authoritarian person. He likes to talk a lot about kings. Well, there's a king at County Hall, and I'm just sick and tired of it, where they will not communicate with us and they will not work with us. I mean, we're requesting information from purchasing and they're telling us we have to FOIL it. You know, at some point in time, you talk about good government. I stated, I don't always agree with the county controller, but our offices work together because we have to do the public's work. And this is just an egregious weaponization, abuse of power. And, you know, to me, you know, someone could file an ethics complaint. I think, you know, someone should do that because this is a misuse and misrepresentation of public funds.
So you're saying every expense you make now has to be FOIL'd?
No, what I'm saying is we're trying to, you know, we had a purchasing opportunity and, you know, we're trying to get public information, who the bids were. And we were, it was conveyed to us that we were going to have to FOIL. That should be public information. We've been waiting for this material for over 6 months, and a couple of the people who put the bids in asked me, what's going on with this? You know, we're local bidders, we're local printers, we're a local company. We're going to use local New York State companies. And I guess the person who won it is an independent person who's dealing with China. So, you know, instead of working with companies and people that work in Erie County, we're working with, you know, bidding that's not even taking place in the United States, and there's no control. We're waiting for 6 months for this bid. So I'm waiting for this paperwork because I want to see what the bids were and why we have to wait 6 months to fulfill a purchasing order. And to me, it just goes on and on. Joe, we're looking at the budget, and I'm looking at things, and it really is getting to the point. They can't beat me at the ballot box, but they, you know, I'm looking at my department submission for my 2026 budget. They changed my numbers. They changed my numbers. And when the budget director says, hey, can you inflate the numbers? The answer is no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give fake numbers. This is how these people work across the street. They want to give fake numbers. They want people to pay high taxes so they can hire their buddies. And I'm not going to do it, Joe. I'm not going to do it.
You know, Mickey, talking about the budget, I also understand that there were, you know, openings in your office, mostly in the DMV, that the county executive completely ignored.
Yeah, they have cut positions in my office. They're part-time positions, important essential positions. One of the things we're looking to do, Joe, I've been in conversations with Erie Community College, that we want to hire these positions for students, and they can come in and they can get school credit. Well, we haven't filled those positions because we've been holding them because we're still working with the Erie Community College on that so we can place those young people in. However, the county executive, because he bought or was given a new park out in Amherst, created 7 jobs for the Department of Public Works. I just don't know how a private entity like the Buffalo News has the authority. I know how, but how they have the authority to, you know, those workers go down there, 4 workers. Do you imagine 4 workers moving in you to make sure that, you know, you have office space with a door? And in the hearing, we stated, look, we're willing, we're not against freedom of the press. It's just that is not the most optimal room. We need confidentiality. As I stated, the district attorney moved out there from his, moved his trainings out from there. We'll move her down to a different part of the office. And she said, no, I need confidentiality. I need a door. So I'm an elected official who represents nearly 1 million people, and I have no authority on how to run my office. They're changing my budget numbers. They're cutting my positions. If this is not political, Joe, I don't know what is.
Oh, I think it's pretty clear, Mickey. I think it's pretty clear. Now, last time we talked, you had sent a letter to the county executive with this office, with the office space, or with his sliding you in the budget. Has the county executive at all talked to you?
No, I reached out to him. They when I was at the legislature, there was a representative there, and the chair stated, and that person fairly said that the Department of Public Works wasn't invited. However, he was there to represent the county executive. And to me, you know, no one invites me. We look at the agenda items, and if it's something relevant to the clerk's office, we go to the meeting and we, you know, we talk to them and we work with the, you know, the staff to make sure that we have the proper people there to represent the office or myself. But no, the answer is no. And, you know, my point is that this has got to get resolved soon. We're waiting on the legislature. We do not want this to go to court. We do not want this to go to court. I do not want to spend one more time on this or any taxpayers' money to resolve this. I was hoping that this could be resolved amicably and we can do this professionally. But when you have a tyrant, when you have a dictator, and you have someone who's trying to control this office, changing my budget numbers, having the budget director say, you need to inflate the numbers. Joe, we're not even talking about 18% where they're charging people who are behind on their taxes, tax delinquency. They're budgeting about $17.5 million for people that are behind on their taxes at 18%. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. So before you start throwing rocks in windows, look at yourself and, you know, look and see what's going on, because what's happening, that the Buffalo News has this much power over this administration, is unbelievable.
And it's sad because, I mean, the Buffalo News, that doesn't even have the dedication to being local. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's a place that is, you know, made sure they stay local in Buffalo. They're not doing a Monday paper starting next month. They're not printing in Buffalo. But you're right, Mickey. I have to agree. I mean, of course it's political. I mean, look at the endorsements the Buffalo News is putting out for this year's county elections. Of course it's political.
It's political. Joe, I remember when I ran for office, I ran for re-election 4 years ago, and I went in for the endorsement, and I called someone over there, and I won't mention that person's name, but that person basically said to me that, Mickey, we can't give you the endorsement because we got to sell newspapers. That's where they're at.
Wow.
I mean, at some point in time, believe me, I was very upset that I didn't get that endorsement. However, you know, now I know what's going on. So, look, at Sandra Tan doesn't want to be part of the story. She is the story. We are upsetting this office. She was in the courts. The courts got rid of her, threw her out, and now they put her in this office. Never reached out to me, never contacted me. This is just an aggressive and an egregious power play by the county executive, by the Department of Public Works. And once again, you know, we can't get any opinions from the county attorney. We can't get information from purchasing. I mean, at some point in time, there has to be some rectifying of this situation, because it's not going to end in a positive way, because it's going to end up in court and there's no resolution. There's no local law giving him the authority to do this. No local law. The opinion that was given by the county attorney was a half-hearted, really general opinion. And he even states in his email that his authority is no more than my legal clerk in my office. Well, if his opinion doesn't have any weight, why am I even asking him?
Mickey, you know, you talk about the meetings that have to take place there, but if I remember correctly, there was also supplies in that room. Where are those supplies now?
Supplies are, listen, it ruined our conference room. The supplies are all over that conference room. It was a beautiful old courtroom. Once again, as I said, we made an investment in technology. We were going to be doing our training there. I stated the district attorney was doing his trainings in there. We were going to do inter-department training for the software conversion. We ordered 15 to 20 new tabletop computers so we can do the training. And, I mean, it's just a mess in there. It's a mess. She has a beautiful office with four workers coming in to make sure it's vacuumed, to make sure everything looks good, a table on the desk. It's locked. Who gets that type of access? If this is truly a meeting room, which we know it's not, because in both letters from the Department of Public Works and from the county executive, they call it the Buffalo Newsroom. I mean, they come in at the dead of the night, like the plumbers in Watergate. They change the locks. I mean, if this is not a breach of public trust, I don't know what is. And if people should not be upset. I mean, I call on everyone to call their legislators, to call the county executive's office and say, this has got to stop. Return the space to the county clerk's office, or unfortunately, this is going to go to court. This is becoming a childish matter by someone who, you know, calls everyone else a dictator, but he's really a dictator himself.
Yeah, it seems like a little bit of a projecting on his part. Mickey, I'll tell you this. We know starting in November, Sandra doesn't have much to do on Mondays, so maybe I'll take the office over and do the show on Mondays from that office, just so it's
I think you have a right to do that show on Mondays. But, you know, once again, and I said this, and I want it to be clear, and I don't want to play favorites, and you know I always tell you directly, you know, we really don't want any media in there.
Right.
So, you know, I guess, you know, I'm being honest about it. It's got to be utilized by the county clerk's office. But until this gets resolved, I guess you'll have access. I would call over there and get your key, you know, and make sure that you have access on Mondays there.
Sounds great. Hey, Mickey, keep us updated. Thank you so much for the update. I'm sorry this is happening to you. I mean, you have a job to do, and I think you're right. I think it's childish from the county executive, and I do appreciate you keeping us in the loop.
Thanks, Joe. I'm sorry we have to do this, but I know people have been emailing me and contacting me, and I just wanted to give everyone an
update. No, I really, really appreciate it. As always, Mickey, we'll talk soon. That is Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Herb Gunther for joining us at 2 and talking about the pushback on a proposed Tim Hortons at Harris Hill and Main Street. I'm sure it will not be the last we hear of that. And thank you to Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns, as always. Tom Bowerly is up next after the news with Tom Puckett. I'll be back here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I actually have a pretty good show planned for you tomorrow. I try to have a good show planned every day, but I feel pretty good already about tomorrow's show, of course, unless something breaks. We'll talk tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Have a great Wednesday afternoon. Bowerly's next on WBEN.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.